Always worth saying. Question time review. Question time. The 10th of February, 2022. The panel, George Eustace, Conservative. Vaughan Gething, Labour. Delith Jewell, Clyde Cymru. Sebastian Pay, Financial Times. Laura McAllister, Cardiff University. Dick's out, announced Fiona Bruce, Chair. Delith Jewell guffawed like a fishwife. Bruce giggled like a schoolgirl. Sebastian Payne laughed a little bit too loudly, while George Eustace looked suspiciously self-conscious and, perhaps surprisingly, so did Vaughan Gething. Laura McAllister seemed puzzled, as if unfamiliar with the topic. So much for the usual weekly pre-recording, penis-obsessed Question Time green room banter. Makes you wonder what they'll be like when they found out Dame Cressida has resigned. What about the actual show? The first question referred to the relaxation of coronavirus rules in England a month early. George Eustace, Conservative, thought this was a good thing and not at all premature. It was based on evidence. The vaccine had been a great success. George Eustace has been MP for Camborne and Redruth for 12 years, educated privately at the Truro Cathedral School. George was previously a member of UKIP. A former PR man, George is married to Katie Taylor Richards, another House of Commons type once of the Daily Express, head of press and policy exchange, a researcher for David Davis and secretary to House of Commons finest, Dover MP and jailed sex pest, Charles Brett Anthony. I'm a naughty Tory, Elphick. Jackie Collins lookalike, Delith Jewell, Clyde Cymru, disagreed and couldn't see any justifying evidence. She thought it was distasteful and had been announced in order to save the Prime Minister's career. Purely political, concluded a lady in the audience in a crimson patterned scarf with her spectacles across her hairdo. She suggested a proper inquiry. Vaughan Gething, Labour, wanted a UK-wide inquiry. He wore a mid-blue suit with a light blue tie. An odd little badge was attached to his left lapel. One suspects it has his name and postcode on, in case he is later found wandering lost in the streets of Newport. Vaughan was concerned that Mr. Johnson's announcement had been made without tier upon tier of bureaucracy deliberating upon it, in meeting after meeting after meeting. It sounded as though the Welsh Health Minister, Vaughan, had found out the important news at the last minute, via the telly. Delith shook her head and nodded at the same time. Things could have been done differently during the pandemic, conceded Mr. Gething, but only at the UK level, he added, covering his own back. The remarkably English-sounding QT audience was less socially distanced this week, with only one empty comfy Newport multiplex seat between each of them. Do no harm and follow the science, said Laura McAllister, Cardiff University. She then relied upon the harmful quack non-science of opinion polling to claim the PM is unpopular and untrusted. Trust in the Welsh First Minister is at 5.2, whereas it is only 4-point-something for Boris Johnson, she claimed, plucking the numbers from the air unscientifically. Laura McAllister, CBE, Fellow of the Learned Society of Wales, is another public sector bod who has never had a proper job. Described in the guff that comes with Question Time, she is Professor of Public Policy and the Governance of Wales at Cardiff University and co-chair of the Independent Commission on the Constitutional Future of Wales. Not content with that, Professor Laura has decided she should be on the FIFA Executive Council. Laura played 24 times for the Welsh ladies' Wendy Ball team, making her debut in a 12-0 defeat to Germany in a women's UEFA Championship qualifying competition in which Wales lost all six of their matches and conceded 36 goals. She lost out another time, passed over by FIFA after an Executive Council vote in Montreux. Former Clyde Cymru candidate Laura has been a board member of Toxic Stonewall, who even the BBC have given up on. The LGBTQI++ lobbyist's Introduction to Supporting LGBT Young People contains the immortal Savilegate-esque line, "Meeting strangers from the internet is extremely appealing, as it doesn't share any of the threats that talking to people in your social circle has." In Wales Online's 2015 Pink List, Laura came fourth, beneath another director at Toxic Stonewall, Andrew White, and on top of Louise Thomas, Chair of Pride Cymru, Wales Online also informs us Laura has a partner called Linus Jones, who, surprise, surprise, makes radio programmes for the BBC. Bruce paused the proceedings to make an important announcement. Next week, we're in Leeds. Question 2. A psychic in the audience asked, are the problems in the Met much deeper than Cressida Dick? After consulting with her earpiece, Bruce announced that Chief Constable Cressida had resigned that very minute. She passed the question to Sebastian Payne, Financial Times. They certainly are, announced the geeky journalist with the outside spectacles. He suggested breaking the Met up into smaller units. He has lots of female friends. They don't feel safe. They have to wander the dangerous streets at night to avoid being in the same room as him. He didn't say, but we were all thinking. Sebastian Payne is a journalist and author. His mighty work, Broken Heartlands, A Journey Through Labour's Lost England, is the astonishing 6,645th most popular book on Amazon. An amazing 147,827 places ahead of QT Review's benchmark for such things, the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom. Attention, mega trigger alert. And this isn't a joke. Sebastian's book really is marked by Amazon as 18 years and up, whereas the Marquis de Sade's really isn't. Seriously, you have been warned. Crouch End resident and former Guardian intern Sebastian does have a connection to the north of England, having been born in Gateshead in 1989 and having been privately educated at the £14,000 a year Dame Allen School in Newcastle. A graduate of Durham University, computer science, Sebastian headed south in 2011 to study investigative journalism at City University of London. Before joining the FT and writing his filthy book, Mr. Payne's other gigs included Andrew Neil's Ghislaine Maxwell supporting Spectator magazine, The Washington Post, and The Telegraph. Mrs. Payne is Sophia Gaston. After 8 years as a university student, Sophia moved into research and is currently a director of the British Foreign Policy Group, an independent think tank. Sophia hosts the Eyes on Britain podcast, in which her exhaustive investigations lead her to state the bleeding obvious. Putting to one side the stabbings, shootings, riots and looting, a chap in the South Wales audience told us the Met's biggest problems were homophobia and misogyny. Another loon forgot about crime too, and also obsessed about misogyny. Is there a big, long German word that means hoping somebody gets home after a night out to find their house has been burgled? Delith shook her head and nodded at the same time, while setting her face like Jockey Collins trying to swallow a lemon. Vaughan said the only reason Cressida had been kept on for so long was because there was nobody to replace her. Lady of a certain age and high-ranking academic and would-be sports suprema Laura pointed out that academia and sport is run by white people of a certain age. A person reviewing the programme asked, rhetorically, Laura, in the interest of diversity, are you going to give up your well-paid positions to a tinged person of BAME? LaBruce put on her very serious face and summoned her inner police constable Savage in Charing Cross Police Station canteen at coffee time during a bad night shift. In a first for question time, she announced, my father kidnapped some African children and used them to make dog food. QT Review presumes this to be a quote from Cressida's unruly copper's WhatsApp. But since Bruce's father was a Unilever executive based in the colonies, you never know. There is inbuilt sexism in every structure, announced Laura before rattling through the isms and phobias. Interestingly, nobody mentioned crime or the types of people most likely committing it. Muggins, stabbings, robbery, drugs, fighting, forced marriage, terrorism, illegal immigration, Albanians, none of it got a mention. The public services appear to exist so that posh telly people can have nicey feelings while never having to use them, unlike us plebs. As if an amen, Laura's privileged white upper middle class lips ended her comments with the word diversification. Oh, you're gay. She's just a girl, a teacher quoted of her pupils in despair, her hands literally ringing. Love, you can listen to somebody say gay, or you can listen to Reggie and Ronnie breaking your kneecaps with a hammer. Which do you want to prevent? This time, Delith just nodded.
It got worse. Diversity, acceptance, well-being, white, straight, middle class, men, men, men. Please, Cressida Dick was a woman. I give up. Delyth non-dual, yes, non, is a Plaid Cymru member of the Welsh Synod who grew up in Ystrid Mwynach and attended Isgol Brew Alta and Isgol Gyffwn Cymrymni schools and has been president of Dafydd Ap Gwili. After Brainy Delyth completed an English degree at St Hugh's, Oxford, she took an interest in square goalposts and numbers on the shorts and embarked upon a master's degree in Celtic Studies. Reference to the Oxford University Celtic Studies Master's Degree website reveals that the course lasts for 9 months in a row while students learn of Celtic history, Brother Walfrid, culture, music. There's only one George Cadetti, it's in the netty, George Cadetti, and important Celts from history. King Billy McNeill, Paul McStay, Maurice Johnston, as well as the contemporaneous threats to the Celtic tradition. Yes, that means you, Hugh Dallas. Unfortunately, Delyth wasted her qualification. She could have been a social worker in Cope Bridge by going to London and becoming a Plaid Cymru researcher at the House of Thieves and Liars. Unsurprisingly, Ms. Jewell has never had a proper job. Rather, Delyth has boasted of her involvement in women's rights and international development through her connection with Action Aid. While straplined Changing the World with Women and Girls, one wonders of Action Aid's commitment to change. In a May 2020 website article entitled How Are Muslims Observing Ramadan During the Coronavirus Crisis, Action Aid trustee Abdul Shil forgot to advocate any change to forced marriage, first cousin marriage, female circumcision or covering women from head to toe in a black sheet, and preferred to inform poor girls in Muslim countries that we are encouraged to continue our act of giving and goodwill by donating as part of our Sadaka Jaraija. This is a religious obligation placed upon Muslims to give money to the likes of Abdul Shil, who continued, it can be as simple as supporting Action Aid by donating £5 a month to provide hygiene kits with soap and sanitary towels, or giving £10 a month to provide food supplies like rice, oil and lentils to those who need it most. As we know, every good deed performed during Ramadan is multiplied several times in the eyes of God. Elsewhere, pound signs multiply in the eyes of Action Aid's Quangocrats. Page 54 of their most recent annual report helpfully informs us that the chief executive was paid £114,490 salary in 2020, with another £8,450 being paid into his pension. The director of fundraising received between £90,000 and £100,000. The director of public engagement between £80,000 and £90,000. The director of policy, advocacy and partnerships between £100,000 and £110,000. And the director of organisational effectiveness was also paid between £100,000 and £110,000. At one time, people were better than that. In March 2019, the South Wales Argus ran a story about Delyth Jewell's grandmother's 100th birthday. Dorian Jewell was born in Sunderland on the 18th of March 1919, the youngest of eight children. She left school at 12, was apprenticed to a French polisher, worked in the town's Vaux brewery and moved to Birmingham during the Second War after being drafted to work in a musician's factory. After marrying Ken, she moved to his native Rhondda Valley and raised a family. Should Boris Johnson apologise over the Keir Starmer Savilegate scandal? Bruce read out the actual House of Liars and Thieves quote. A former director of public prosecutions who spent more time prosecuting journalists and failing to prosecute Jimmy Savile. Vaughan thought, of course he should apologise. How dare the Prime Minister tell the truth? He changed the subject to those shouting at Keir Starmer outside Portcullis House, but omitted to mention they were outnumbered by police officers. He announced that challenging paedophilia and necrophilia was the preserve of racists and fascists on the internet. The Prime Minister has an unfaithful relationship with the truth, said Vaughan, speaking as a member of an elite which concealed the truth about Jimmy Savile for decades. Vaughan Gething is no stranger to QT View. His lengthier biography is available elsewhere. The highlight being he is a half-Zambian Englishman from Beaminster whose odd Welsh accent is reminiscent of how a half-Zambian Englishman from Beaminster mistakenly thinks a Welshman might talk. Now then, Uncle Sebastian was going to fix it for Boris to resign. Don't you mean apologise? Wondered Bruce. The media man from up the north corrected himself while laughing nervously. Or was it more of a yodel like, He told the audience he'd been chased down the street by a mob too. Really? Is there something about larger-than-life dirty book author Sebastian that the politicians and the BBC aren't telling us? Laura said an interesting thing. The trust, the contract that politicians have with the public and with the electorate, is based upon the use of language and trust and respect. No, perception management is based upon the use of language. Trust is based upon honesty when confronted with cold, hard fact. That's why the media political elite are so bigly triggered by Savile. Not only does Savilegate expose the difference between public and private truths, but also reminds us the entitled media political clique they may be excoriated by plebs who are more concerned with right and wrong than with the manipulation of words. Sebastian said claims of Starmer's culpability in the non-prosecution of Savile come from the darkest conspiracy theory corner of the internet. No, they don't. They come from Keir Starmer, who, in January 2013, publicly apologised for not prosecuting Savile. As the Scottish Daily Express put it, Keir Starmer apologised for the failure to bring charges against the evil predator Jimmy Savile when he was England's top prosecutor. The next question wasn't about the Ukraine, the energy crisis or inflation. No, it was about a cat taking time out from torturing mice and pulling the limbs off dicky birds to be kicked around the kitchen by its owner, West Ham fullback Kurt Zouma. Laura droned on about society, exceptionalism, racism, sexism and homophobia. Makes you wonder what else the cat got up to besides bringing up fur balls and leaving its muck in a neighbour's vegetable patch. Kurt Zouma appeared to be in the audience. Oh, I'm bad. He defended himself by saying other people race horses and shoot birds. If anything, he'd been rather soft on the cat. Are you equating horse racing with kicking a pet, Kurt? Asked a concerned Bruce. They use whips on horses, he retorted. For a limited number of times, corrected Bruce, as if recalling a recent good whipping in harness and saddle, not interrupted until her safety word. Welsh footballers are role models, claimed Delith. Just in time, she stopped herself from saying Ryan Giggs and referenced Gareth Bale instead. The panellists agreed that the Euro 2020 England team were a credit, as if throwing a penalty shootout so that Nike Black Lives Matter might get a photo opportunity was a good thing. Again, the reality is less important than the optic. But all of them forgot to say the England and Wales men's teams passed the pitchforks and shovels. Burn the witches. The final question wondered of Brexit opportunities for South Wales. Delith didn't want opportunities. She wanted to scrounge. Wales had received more handouts from the English taxpayer via Brussels than it now gets direct from London. Never want to spare words, Laura over-described her scrounging. She wanted somebody else to provide European structural something or other programme aid, in the same way that the little chap in the adverts wants somebody else to get his water from the well. As the programme and Commissioner Cressida's career drew to a predictably disappointing end, the same tired, unapologetic, manipulated Remainer language spewed from a deluded panel, all aware that the good people of Wales had voted leave.